You're listening to the public feed of Carefree Highway Revisited, which includes only a portion of this conversation. To hear the complete discussion, become an FM Plus subscriber. Sign up in Apple Podcasts or see the show notes for details.
The first guest of the evening is truly a poet. He's an artist. He is a friend and an inspiration to anyone who I think who has ever played the guitar or tried to write poetry. Would you please welcome Gordon Lightfoot?
Made a grab at anything, the earth was gone, and I was on a vicious circle then. And I have to think that the vicious circle was him grabbing at anything, which could mean any opportunity to get his music out there, also at any person that would accept him. Because we know he was very easily taken in by females.
And, he sure was.
And the vicious cycle was that he wasn't finding what he sought, whether that was love or acceptance or whatever. And what he did not realize when he was that young, and that most men realize, is that they can get sex from any woman, but they can't get love from every woman, and they can't get contentment from just any place.
And I think that's another great view, because it also brings, I think, into the forefront, after Brita, after that marriage was over, he was going from woman to woman. You almost feel that it wasn't necessarily like he was just sleeping around. There seemed to be this intense insecurity in being alone. And if a woman says she loves me, of course, logically, I know that's not true because we don't really know each other, but she's a warm body for the night. Or in longer relationships, those were also formed only with either they were fans or they worked for somebody he knew up until his last marriage. But prior to that, I mean, he got Kathy Smith. Well, she was working at the riverboat, and it was Ian who sort of introduced her to him. And then you go through all these other women. One of the ladies that he loved, he met her in the middle of one of his concerts. She had been up on the front of the stage taking photos of him. She wasn't pressed. She didn't have a pass. So security grabbed her and they were dragging her away. And of course, he's a sucker for a blonde. And that's what she was. He halts the concert, tells them to like unhand her. She ends up backstage. And it's just, it seemed like he didn't have relationships afterwards that were on equal footing the way that he had with Brita.
Oh, yeah. Which is not to put those other women down.
Absolutely not. They all cared about him, and he made it very difficult, but I definitely do not want to put any of them down.
No, but I think it also speaks to him realizing on some level that these women are vulnerable and I need acceptance. And that, again, yes, is not to throw stones at him because he's a human being. We right. all make mistakes, but there may be some psychology going on there.
Yeah, and I think the difficulty with this song, why it's sort of hard to approach, is you don't want to like tear the guy down, but you don't want to tear down any other women as well. But you kind of have to look at the place he was at that time in his head, and that he wasn't going to come out the other end for quite a while.
No, and it's going to take getting older, but it's going to take also other incidents for that to right. happen. After I'd gone and let myself surrender, I didn't want to die at all. I thought I'd live forever. And it sounds like he's talking about surrendering. Okay, I'm going to fall in love with this person or allow myself to fall in love with Brita. He didn't want to die at all. And on one level, that means at some point he did want to die. But it also goes to the feeling of a young man in love when you yes. are just feeling like nothing can stop you.
And women feel that way too.
I get not only speaking from my own experience.
No, but yes. I'm just saying it's interesting because it's a feeling of this loss of control, this giddiness, a euphoria. You don't even feel gravity. It's like you're on a roller coaster doing those loops where you're coming up out of the seat. And it's just an incredible sense of not being able to control yourself at all at that point. Your emotions are just everywhere, and that can be good and bad.
Bob Dylan said it best. He said, you can't be wise and in love at the same time. And speaking as a Dylan fan, okay, I don't think I've ever heard truer words from the man or from any other songwriter, including Mr. Lightfoot. Then she gave me everything a king could never borrow. Okay, we're back with kings again. But I twisted all her gifts. Her wisdom was my sorrow. So he is right here lauding her contribution to his life. You talked about the investments that she made. You talked about the patience that she had had with him and with him being gone. And as we find out later, he was in and out of affairs on the road. But then he's also kind of taking responsibility for wrecking this relationship. Now, you said that the divorce wouldn't come down, but he realizes the mistakes that he's made. And he's realizing he doesn't deserve this, like I mentioned earlier. I love the lyric that says, twisted all her gifts. I thought, wow, what would that have looked like? And I'm not sure I really want to know because it's none of my business, but I just love the way that you phrase that.
It's something that you know in your mind that you know what he's talking about. And it's so private. Again, you don't want to give words to it, but he is a writer who broke a rule that songwriters are taught never write about anything that's too personal. You'll make the audience uncomfortable. But he continually broke that rule and did it successfully. What a line. And I twisted all her gifts. We don't need to know. We can imagine. And I think it goes back to imagery, too, and just the perfect word choices.
I don't know that it was too personal because he wasn't giving sordid details, but he said it in just the right way. And again, it's probably that workhorse mentality. Okay, how is the exact way that I'm going to get this across? What words am I going to use to do that? So I left her crying and roamed across the river. The angels offered me their hands, but I could not forget her. Now, as usual here, I'm going to read too much into this. Roamed across the river. I don't know if he's speaking metaphorically, you know,
right.
Like crossed over something that is dividing them.
Or if it's a Canadian river reference.
Well, the St. Lawrence would make the most sense because that kind of indicates he went into the States to get away from her, either deliberately, I got to get as far away from you as I can, or that's where the touring was going to take me. Because let's face it, there's an enormous market in the States, was then, is now, arguably bigger than the one in Canada. And certainly in those days, with the economic ability to buy stuff, I don't know if the Canadians didn't have that. I'm only speaking by...
Well, I can speak to that a little bit. I was right on the border, so he benefited actually greatly from the Canadian rule, which I think you probably know, the radio rule.
Yeah.
The content rule. So he was actually doing pretty good for himself, even though he wasn't famous in America. Plus, he had all those covers. And that was generating a ton of money, or the recordings rather, the songs. So he's relatively, with the help of Rita again, being very money smart, doing quite well. I'm not sure that America necessarily was something he wanted to conquer. He sometimes had a lackadaisical attitude about exactly what he wanted.
Oh, no, I'm not saying that he deliberately said, I'm going to go out and conquer the United States. I'm just saying that there was money there. There were listeners there. Can you say a little bit more about the content rule? Because I know that most of my listeners are not in Canada, so they don't necessarily know what that means.
Well, back in 1973, there wasn't enough Canadian music being played on Canadian radio. So the government came up with what was called the 70-30 rule. And that is that radio stations in Canada had to make sure that at least 30% of their musical content was Canadian. By Canadian artists, thank you. And actually, some radio stations that were on the border states, like New Hampshire, I think there was Vermont and a couple of others. We also had radio stations in the States right on the border who followed that rule. They didn't necessarily legally have to, but they were kind of fell into it, especially in New Hampshire, which is nicknamed Little Canada. We got a lot of Canadian influence here, interestingly enough. And I remember growing up, it was really normal to hear the French Canadian Quebec musicians who are on the radio. But in Canada, 30% had to be Canadian musicians. Okay. And that's kind of how he got into this sort of joke with Ann Murray that we're the only two people they ever play in Canada.
I also can appreciate something that you and I have talked about, that Gordon remain steadfastly Canadian in a way that many of his counterparts didn't. We hear about people who move to the States and they never come back, or they become American citizens, or they are just working in the States so much that they never end up going home again, and they lose their identification with Canada, except on paper.
And I think, too, with Gordon, when he passed away, I can tell you that the sense and the feeling, we didn't lose somebody, this famous musician. We lost somebody who was our neighbor, our friend. He was a guy down the street. He was a guy in a rural town, the big city. He was a Canadian who didn't give up that Canadianness. He didn't abandon us. He didn't end up going to Detroit or upstate New York like Joni and Neil. Not anything against them, but I can tell you that when their time comes where they pass on, it's not going to be the same sense of loss.
Not by Canadians. Yes, I can understand that.
I know how much he meant to an older generation. We weren't old enough of that 1960s, sort of that early 70s, or as my dad called them in the early 70s with his blonde curly hair, Canadian Jesus.
I was a war baby in 1972, so I listened to it, but of course I wasn't cognizant of it until I started reading the history of it. Just to clear up the next part of that lyric, the angels offered me their hands. I had originally thought, okay, well, he's talking about Los Angeles. No, he's not. He's talking about the other women that have offered, hey, you know, come with me and all.
Yeah, no, I'm right true. You know. You're right. That's very astute. A lot of people don't get that. That's essentially what he is saying, that now that I have all these women, because she's not here, I'm realizing I don't want them. What was I thinking? At that time as well, he had multiple girlfriends in like California that he was seeing, and somebody out in Hawaii, and another person was a school teacher he met while he was driving across Canada.
That was Marianne.
That's what I thought. So he's standing back and it's like, all these songs I wrote about all these women, and now I don't want them.
It's the idea that I once heard a pastor say, God will give you what you want, but once you get it, you won't want it. Well, that's all the time we have for Here in the Public Feed. If you'd like to hear the rest of this conversation, along with all of our other extended and bonus episodes, become an FM Plus subscriber. Sign up in Apple Podcasts or at fmpods.com. You can see the show notes for details.